Hello and welcome to the Empowered Hormone Podcast, where we pull apart all those taboo topics, periods, parasites, poos, hormones and more. Let's question everything you've been taught about your body. I'm your host, Sheridan Decker, a gin-loving gut health nerd, passionate about debunking myths on birth control, period pain and IBS. If you struggle with bloating or your period is less than pretty, then join me as we chat about everything relating to gut and hormone health. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Empowered Hormones podcast. We're up to episode 111. There we go. Well, if this goes out when I expect it to go out, because sometimes they don't go out when I think they're going to go out. Anyway, side tangent, I jumped on my Instagram today and I pre-warned you guys at the start of my episodes. I usually do have a couple minute rant about something non-related to the topic, but I'm not really going to do that today because I feel like I've already done that. But it is nice to have you here with me. It's nice to connect with people. And I do love the solo episodes. Like, I love having guests on. It's so good and it's nice to have someone to chat to. And as an avid podcast listener, I do really like listening to conversations between two people. I find it easier to listen to sometimes than just one person, unless it's on like background noise or I'm doing something else and I like it, but otherwise I kind of like conversation. But I don't know if you guys like that. Let me know if you hate my solo episodes and you feel like I should have more guests on. The thing is, like, I love having guests on, but it's a lot more work and organization because it's timing and planning and back and forth and getting them on and then deciding on who and then dates and lining stuff up. Like, it's always sometimes it's easier just to do a solo one and nerd out on one topic. And I feel like this is a really common topic of something that I get not asked about a lot. I wouldn't put it that way, but I would say it's something that I see a lot. Like, it's super common. We are talking about sex today. We're talking about how to get your libido back. It's a very, let's put it this way, it's a very popular unspoken topic. It's not something that women always openly talk about, but then I guess neither is bowel movements. Bloating, I feel like yes. Periods, yes. Skin, yes, because it's right there. But when I see women, so when someone fills out their intake forms, they usually present to me, generally it comes with gut stuff and hormone stuff or skin, like it's one of those three. And then there's a heap of check boxes of other things they struggle with. And low libido is on there and is definitely something that a lot of women flag. And then it's like, okay, well, why? But then you kind of got to remember, which we're going today, that there is a root cause for it. But I do feel like, before I jump into that, the times are changing around these topics and we are more open to talking about what we would call taboo topics, and that goes for a range of things. So that includes vibrators. I've asked before for women good recommendations for vibrators, and I've got heaps. If you want to know, ask me. Not I've got heaps, I've got heaps of recommendations is what I meant. Mine's actually broken. But I feel like it's something, you know, we're starting to talk more and more about these things, and there's a lot more podcasts and there's a lot more awareness about not only women's health but about sexual health, and all the topics kind of surrounding that, which is really good. I feel like there's a time and a place for this stuff, of course. I wouldn't be posting about that on my personal Instagram, but when people follow you for content and you realize, you know, someone might follow me because they're constipated and they're bloated and they're trying to figure out what's going on, but in line with that, they've probably generally got hormone issues as well, skin stuff as well, or other things going on. So there's usually a range of things going on. It's never one thing in isolation. So circling back around, we know that as much as 40% of women experience low libido and disinterest in sex. So there is a difference between low sex drive, so like a low libido, and not wanting sex, okay? So it's super, super individualized, and there's so many aspects that come into it. There is just the hormonal aspect, then there's also menopause, so declining hormones rather than just hormones throughout your cycle. And then physical and emotions and relationships and all those things coming into it as well. And I'm not an expert on that thing. I'm not pretending to be an expert around sexual health or, you know, sexual counseling or anything like that. This is more from a hormonal point of view and a nutrition point of view, things that can be done and tested to look for that side of stuff. So I'm not going to jump into emotions or physical attraction or mentally how we, you know, deal with sex or disinterest in sex, but purely from more of a hormonal point of view, knowing that obviously as you head towards menopause and that whole hormonal picture changes, you expect things to change. But if you're in your menstruating years, you expect, in a sense, to have a healthy sex drive, just like, you know, we all kind of expect to have regular bowel movements and not to get bloated when we eat food, because that's not normal unless you have a huge bowl of chili con carne, okay? So it is kind of working in line with our expectations and knowing that, you know, we as females are unique in the sense that we're on this monthly cycle, if you're not on some form of contraception, whereas men are very different and they're kind of on a day-to-day cycle. So researchers have found that high levels of estrogen have a positive effect on a woman's sex drive, okay? So we need that high estrogen to have that libido. So it makes sense if you think about it. And also lots of postmenopausal women who are on some form of estrogen therapy have noticed differences in their sex drive and regaining it again. But we know that estrogen is not the only hormone at play here. So to keep it simple, but to break it down, we know that estrogen and progesterone levels rise and fall throughout your reproductive cycle, but they don't rise and fall in unison, okay? So if you don't know what that means, just Google estrogen and progesterone on your period and have a look, and there's usually two colored lines and you can see where one rises and one falls, then the other one rises and the other one falls, and you can see it's not bang on together. So their proportions change according to what's going on with the body. So we have that preparation of the uterine lining, we have ovulation, and we have menstruation going into your bleed, okay? And this is what impacts sex drive. Because remember, we were created to go through this cycle, but, you know, without technology, without everything else, and we're created to reproduce in nature, in a sense. So with this, within the cycle, we have these fluctuations, which is priming you to be horny when you're ovulating and to have that strong sex drive, and then for it to drop away when you would sort of be falling pregnant, or obviously as you go into that bleed and you're not pregnant. So from this biological perspective, as estrogen's dominant increases significantly prior to ovulation, so we expect a strong desire for sex at this point in the menstrual cycle, because obviously your body's fertile and ready to fall pregnant. After ovulation, so after that egg's been released, we know that estrogen falls, okay? So while it does begin to rise again in the days following ovulation, so does progesterone. And progesterone levels begin to exceed estrogen. So this is after ovulation, we see that higher progesterone levels. So this is heading towards your period. So if you don't know, days 1 to 14, this is very textbook, by the way. This varies a lot, but just to keep it simple because you don't have anything in front of you. First half of your cycle, so let's just say the first 2 weeks you're leading up to ovulation, second 2 weeks you're leading up to your bleed. So in that second 2 weeks, we're saying, okay, well, progesterone is more dominant, and we start to see sex drive diminish. This is because there's no reproductive advantage to sex during that part of the menstrual cycle, so close to your period, because you're not fertile there. You're fertile sort of around that ovulation window. So without adequate estrogen, your body may not be receiving the signals it needs to desire sex, okay? So without adequate estrogen, yeah. So you need enough estrogen to sort of have that sex drive. So for women who are struggling with low sex drive, it's worth looking not only at estrogen and progesterone in isolation, but that relationship between the two, and see if it's become unbalanced. Okay, so estrogen levels were found to significantly correlate with sexual desire and responsiveness, whereas testosterone did not. Whereas a lot of people say, oh, maybe female has low testosterone and that's why she doesn't have a strong sex drive. But if you look at a Dutch hormone test, you'll see testosterone comes first. It goes DHEA. You see this little, Google it again. You'll see this little flow chart. You'll see DHEA, you'll see testosterone, and then you will see testosterone is metabolized by an aromatase enzyme that converts testosterone into estrogen as a way to eliminate testosterone from the body. So we need enough testosterone, but we also need enough estrogen, and that little enzyme can over aromatase testosterone and cause issues there as well. So we need healthy levels of testosterone for sure, but ultimately we also really need healthy levels of estrogen. Okay, so studies have found that testosterone therapies were only effective at improving sexual functioning when combined with estrogen therapy. Sorry, I think there's a little bit of background noise from my neighbors, I apologize. So we need that testosterone therapy, and we also need that estrogen therapy. So how do we do that? How do we support testosterone? How do we support healthy levels of estrogen? And to make sure, A, we don't have too high progesterone, because that's what's diminishing our sex drive, but also progesterone isn't too low, because we don't want low progesterone and super high levels of estrogen, because that's going to cause a whole heap of PMS symptoms as well. So we need enough estrogen, but we also need enough progesterone to balance it, and we also need enough testosterone. So firstly, I would say test them just to see what's going on, because we know it's otherwise it's a little bit tricky to see. You can do a basic blood test if you want. My favorite is, as I've just talked about, the Dutch comprehensive hormone test. I do that as part of the root cause program. I have also linked in the show notes a full female blood workup, which you can go get done privately if your GP is not going to run it. But otherwise, you can get basic blood work done: progesterone, estrogen, testosterone. DHEA would be a really good one as well, because that's going to tell you a lot about what's going on with adrenal glands, but also as that precursor for hormones. So I would get some blood work done, get your zinc done as well, get iron done, get those nutrients done that are going to impact hormones, but also, yeah, especially zinc. So you can do that by yourself, you can go get blood testing done, or you can jump into the root cause program, you can do it with me, and over the next 6 months we will rebalance your hormones through blood testing, but preferably through urine testing, so the Dutch comprehensive hormone test, because it just tells us so much more about what is going on. So the foods I would recommend: zinc is a big one, so things like your pumpkin seeds, your oysters, your red meat, chicken is a good source, but really my oysters are my favorite, so 6 to 12 per week is the go there. You can, if you're using your chronometer app, check that, because that'll tell you how much zinc is in foods, or copper is in foods as well, iron's in foods, so that makes it really handy to have a look at the end of the day and see how much you've actually consumed. You can supplement with zinc, just be careful of forms, so the type of zinc, and then also the overall amount, because the issue I'm having is that a lot of women come to me in a lot of different supplements, and those supplements all have some form of zinc in it, and the overall amount of zinc is quite high. Maca is awesome. So maca powder, 5 grams per day is a good starting point. It's a great adaptogen that has been shown to increase sexual desire and libido. I find it hard to take as a powder, so you've really got to get it in smoothies and stuff, like pop it into your smoothies or mix it into something, because it's quite, depending on the type you get, but it's quite dry is probably the word I'm looking for. Like, you can't just mix it in water, it doesn't blend into things particularly. You can get it in tablets as well, but it just depends on what you like with swallowing tablets. So zinc, we've got maca, Dark chocolate. So dark chocolate's a great source of bioflavonoids, which support your circulatory system. So we want that blood to be able to flow healthily around the body for a great orgasm, for arousal, for pleasure, for everything. So add some dark chocolate in. The other thing is, from a herbal point of view, ashwagandha is really great. So orgasms, arousals, lubrication, sexual satisfaction. So these all increase when using something like ashwagandha. I use it primarily for adrenal support. You're aiming for around that 100 milligrams a day for at least 2 months, preferably three. So often I'll prescribe it from that point of view, but it does support obviously the rest of the picture as well, from a hormonal point of view, and also alongside other adaptogenic herbs. Now, DHEA has been shown to improve vaginal lubrication, pelvic floor muscles, and the quality of orgasms. So some women benefit from applying DHEA directly to their vagina or to their clitoris. Again, test DHEA, okay? Really, really important before you supplement with it, because if you're taking it as a tablet as well, it can throw your hormones out of whack pretty quickly. So test that DHEA, test those hormones, and then you know how much ashwagandha, how much DHEA, or if you're using bioidentical hormones, how much you should be taking or using as well. Lastly, B vitamins are really, really important for creating balanced hormones and a healthy libido. So I try and look for a B complex. If you can get it out of food, awesome. But if someone's deficient in Bs, I'm kind of looking for 50 milligrams of niacin, 250 mcg of activated B12, and 50 milligrams of B6 is kind of my starting point for Bs. I just find they're so beneficial across the board as well, especially for that phase 2 estrogen detoxing, for supporting progesterone, all those things. Bs are great. If you have low testosterone, so you're supporting the estrogen picture, but also the herb tribulus has been shown to increase not only DHEA but testosterone levels as well. So you can kind of go around 90 to 250 milligrams 2 to 3 times a day, depending on what is going on there. So quite a bit going on. We've chatted about hormones, how they fluctuate, need enough estrogen to get horny, but also not too much progesterone, but also need to be in balance, need testosterone because that aromatizes into estrogen, need enough DHEA for those hormones as well. Some foods, some herbs we can take to support that, but also self-care, okay? So breath work is really, really important. So putting your awareness and breath, I like to do it into my pelvic region, like hands on my pelvic, and feel myself breathing into that space. Especially if there's been trauma, or you're really stressed, or you're failing to connect with what I've chatted about before, like that feminine energy. I think it's really, really important to do that breath work. And other things you can do: have a bath, do a scrub, light some candles, buy yourself some new lingerie. So just things that make you feel sexy and special. Because if you've bloated, if you're tired, if you're stressed, if you're on the birth control pill, which we know impacts libido massively, so that's definitely something to chat to your practitioner about, as long as the other recommendations. But if you're struggling with any of those things, you're not going to feel like sex as well. So yes, there is definitely a hormonal point of view, and usually I see hormones go out of whack because of stress. Like, they don't just do it for no reason at all. There's always a root cause for them going out of whack, and it might be gut stuff, and might be other things at play, but generally there's a stress component. So you can support those hormones all you like, but if you don't get to the root cause of addressing what's driving your stress, then that's also going to obviously impact your sex drive. But take time for you, take time to feel special, take time to, you know, get your beauty treatments done, to do your medication, to meditation, to do self-care, to light candles, breath work, those things. Go back and listen to the podcast episode I did a couple weeks ago about stress, because I touched on all that stuff as well. But that's just the key component. Being tired, frustrated, bloated, moody is only going to drive into this issue of low libido. So I hope that was helpful and gives you some starting points. So why that sex drive can drop, what hormones are responsible, how to balance them out, some nutrition tips. A big one also, nutrition, eat properly, protein, carbs, fat every meal, 3 to 4, 5, 6 times a day, depending on your blood sugar levels, and then also get some proper testing done, okay? I'll link in the show notes a thyroid panel workup, a female blood workup, how to assess your gut health, and jump into my free Facebook group so that I can support you guys better. Please leave a review, reach out if you need anything. I love hearing from you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Empowered Hormone Podcast. If you know a female who needs some empowerment, please forward, repost, tag, or share, and let's get women talking.